Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Will you be so kind to take your seats, please? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Today we have to finalize the deliberations on our agenda. We are not yet there. We will continue until 12:30. I guess we need the whole morning. And then there's no further plenary session. And tomorrow we will then adopt a report, but you get information about that from the secretary. But let us start. First of all, Mr. Secretary, I take you have a few pieces of information for the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two pieces of information. First, today is your last chance to make corrections to the list of participants. You need to delete the name of those colleagues who could not make it to join us this week. And of course, any new names that do not figure on the list of participants need to be added. And for those of you already sitting on the list of participants, please take a moment and check the correctness of the information of your contacts details. Secondly, I would like to remind the delegations that a series of side events have been scheduled starting this afternoon and up to the tomorrow noon lunchtime. Detailed information on the subjects and where these side events will take place is found in information document 11, INF 11. So please check those events that are of your interest. There is another event that is not mentioned in document INF 11, which is the informal meeting of Codex chairs. Informal meeting of Codex chairs, which will take place tomorrow from 9 a.m. in room 14. Invited are the chairpersons of the commission and vice chairpersons, as well as the chairperson and vice chairpersons elect. Chairmans or chairpersons of Codex subsidiary bodies, including the task forces that may not continue to exist beyond Friday, where the chairpersons of committees and task forces are absent, the representative of host governments are more than welcome. We would like to distribute some documents to prepare yourself for the tomorrow meeting. Therefore, I would kindly ask the Codex chairs to approach Mr. Tom Hyland, which is not yet with us, but he hopefully reach us later this morning, and he will distribute you the documents. So please approach him after the completion of the morning business. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Ladies and gentlemen, then we continue our discussions on agenda item 11B regarding the revision of the structure and mandate of Codex committees. We have one final last proposal, and that is a very important one, that are the business of private standards. I will inform you how I wish to proceed with this final proposal. I will ask the Codex Secretary to briefly inform of introduce this issue to the Commission, also referring, I guess, to what has happened in the second last and last session of the Executive Committee. In the session of the Executive Committee last week, we have postponed the discussion and have requested Evio and WSO to prepare a paper. So there will be hopefully a paper for discussion next year in the executive committee. So that then will allow for a full discussion on this issue. So this time I will ask the secretary to introduce the matter. I will ask the representative of WTO to inform us about what happened last week in a meeting. I will not give the floor for discussion, but postpone the discussion until next year, when we hopefully are in a better position, when we have also seen and discussed a paper prepared by FAO and WHO. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The issue of how Codex system continue to cooperate with the organizations, other organizations setting international standard was included when we conducted the review of Codex committee structure and mandates of Codex subsidiary bodies. And Mr. Chairman, I would like to recall that in the statutes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, it is written very clearly that one of the purposes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission is to coordinate standards, food standard setting work with international governmental as well as non-governmental organizations. So this is perfectly in line with the mandate of Codex to reflect on how we shall coordinate food standard setting activities with private standards setting organization and similar instruments. The issue of role of private standards and relations between Codex standards and those standards was discussed in the framework of the discussion on Proposal 11. And as Mr. Chairman, you pointed out, the discussion at the second last session of the Executive Committee is found in document Adinorm 08/31/3. Paragraphs 32, 33, 34. The Executive Committee recognized that the issue of private standards had been being discussed in the WTO Committee on STS, sanitary and phytosanitary measures, and some other international fora recently. And Mr. Chairman, it is for me to inform the Commission that this is always the actuality and the discussion is still going on, as we will hear from the WTO representative in 1 minute. The Executive Committee also noted that a document that contained in-depth analysis on the implications of private standards had been presented at the last session of that time of the SPS committee. It was in October 2007. And probably the WHO representative could inform us that whether new documentation on the private standards is available. The exec committee noted that the discussion was going on in WTO and agreed not to make any concrete decisions or recommendation on this issue at this moment, and requested the Secretariat to monitor developments of the subject within WTO and elsewhere as appropriate, and keep the Executive Committee informed. Mr. Chairman, this is where we stand as far as Codex is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for introducing the subject to the Commission. And then I would like to ask the representative of the World Trade Organization to give us an update on the meeting of last week, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I will. As I had mentioned yesterday, the committee has been having some discussions on private standards, and there was already an update in the INF5 document that had been circulated. But I'll make some reference to that and provide further updates on what has happened last week, because that was not included, of course, in the report that was circulated. But first, I'd like to make reference to the types of standards that we may be referring to when we talk about private standards. The concept of private standards in general refers to a range of standards varying from individual firm schemes, such as Tesco's Nature's Choice, to collective national schemes, such as the British Retailers Consortium, and to international schemes. And of those, we are very familiar here with the ISO's work, and there have been other initiatives and schemes being formed, and Global Gap is another one that might be familiar to some of you. And these may be categorized according to either pre-farm or post-farm gate standards, or business-to-business standards, or those aimed at consumers. And their coverage goes beyond food safety issues often to cover quality issues, environmental issues, labor or social issues. Needless to say, the focus of the SPS committee has been on food safety issues, although some other aspects have also come up in the discussions. This is just to underline the fact that when we say private standards, we may all be referring to slightly different things, and that the coverage is much broader than food safety in general. And the SPS committee has been discussing the issue of private standards since June 2005, so for the last 3 years. The issue was initially raised as a specific trade concern by St. Vincent and the Grenadines with regard to EuropeGAP, which is now GlobalGAP, requirements on pesticides used on bananas destined for sale in European markets. Since then, three information sessions have been held with the objective of gaining a better understanding of the types and implications of private standards. The last of these information sessions was organized by the STDF last week and focused on how to comply with private standards. And I should also add that these information sessions included speakers from other international organizations and private standard-setting bodies. At the last information session, the issues considered included how to make developing countries' voices heard in the area of private standards, progress in recognition of equivalence between schemes, different schemes, actions to reduce costs of certification, and opportunities to promote dialogue among private standard setters, suppliers, certifiers, and other interested parties. For those interested, all presentations from that event of last week are available on the SPS gateway of the WTO website. So if anyone is interested in getting having access to the presentations made, they are available to all. And these information sessions were not only useful for the committee to gain a better understanding of private standards, but also for private standard-setting bodies to gain awareness of the concerns and queries of the representatives of member governments. Indeed, interventions from the last information session are indicative that some private standard-setting bodies have already begun to take a number of steps addressing some of the concerns raised in the SPS committee. The issue of private standards has also been on the formal agenda of every SPS committee meeting since June 2005. And during the April meeting of the committee this year, discussions were enriched by an intervention from the Secretary General of the OIE. Now I'd like to highlight some of the main issues which have been raised by members in these meetings. And these can be grouped under three themes. First, effects of private standards on market access. Second, developmental concerns. And third, legal issues in relation to WTO agreements. With respect to effects of private standards on market access, some members have underlined the positive impact of private standards in helping improve product quality and access to high-quality markets. However, many other members have pointed to the negative impact of private standards on market access. Members have underlined that private standards, which are proliferating, can be more restrictive than government standards and international standards, and also more prescriptive. They have expressed concerns that private standards constitute additional barriers to market access and are de facto anti-requirements for some markets. With respect to developmental concerns, concerns have been raised in particular with respect to compliance costs, certification costs, sometimes for multiple standards, and that this has been hurting particularly small-scale producers. With respect to the third issue, legal issues in relation to WTO agreements, there has been some disagreement on the applicability of the SPS agreement to private standards. One view has been that private standards are a legitimate private sector activity and that the SPS agreement does not apply in this case. But another view has been that the proliferation of private standards could undermine the progress made in regulating sanitary and phytosanitary measures through adoption and implementation of the SPS agreement. It has been pointed out that in some instances, private standards fail to meet the main requirements of the SPS agreement and that the WTO should do something about this. More specifically, it has been argued that some of the food safety requirements do not have a scientific basis but are based on perceived consumer demands and that they proliferate without much harmonization among the schemes. In this context, members have also asked about the relationship between private standards and the standards set by the three sisters. In particular, there have been calls to ensure that private standards base their food safety requirements on those of the international standard-setting bodies referenced in the SPS agreement. Other concerns have also related to the lack of transparency and lack of participation of developing countries in the development of these private standards. So are private standards covered by the SPS agreement? Members have different views about this question. Article 13 of the SPS agreement on implementation states the following. Members shall take such reasonable measures as may be available to them to ensure that non-governmental entities within their territories comply with the relevant provisions of this agreement. But the term non-governmental entities is not defined further in the SPS agreement. While some have argued that this article would cover private standard-setting bodies, others are of the view that only entities mandated by a government to carry out certain tasks would be covered under this provision, Article 13. Now, this was an overview of the discussion so far. And where are we now? And that brings me to the last information I want to provide on what happened last week. During the April meeting of the committee, in fact, as a result of the discussions that I have summarized above, there was a proposal from WTO members to create an informal working group to address issues related to private standards. And as a follow-up to that proposal, during the meeting of the committee last week, the chairman, Rien Hoege, held informal consultations regarding the membership, objectives, and terms of reference of this working group. However, no consensus could be reached on these aspects, on these procedural aspects of membership, terms of reference, and so on. And one dilemma was that all members agreed that for a group, informal working group, to be efficient, it had to be small, but all members also wanted to be in the informal group. So in light of the stalemate, and in order to move forward, the chairman has made a proposal which was accepted, and that is that he will be circulating specific questions to members regarding the identification of practical actions that the SPS committee could take to reduce negative effects of private standards on trade and enhance the potential benefits for developing countries. So that he's trying to focus the discussion on what the committee could actually do, because we've had a lot of information sessions and information exchange, and now the committee is trying to focus its discussions. Now, these questions will be circulated by the end of the month, probably towards the end of... These questions will be circulated by the end of this week, and the deadline for replies will be towards the end of July. And then in October, the chair will convene informal consultations with those members who have provided specific responses. So the informal working group will be composed of those members who have provided responses to the chair's questions. At the same time, private standards will of course also remain on the agenda of the formal SPS committee meetings. In the context of the discussions on the formation of the working group, many members indicated the importance of the contributions and participation of the three international standard-setting bodies in this working group. But as mentioned, no final decision has yet been reached on the procedures of the working group. But once that is done, the sisters are very likely to be invited to participate and provide specific contributions. I'm sorry that was a bit long maybe, but I hope that was also informative.
Thank you, representative of WTO. Yes, this was quite informative. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we should take good note of this and for the time being continue to monitor the developments in the SPS committee. Also an invitation to member states to active participation in the SPS committee, and I take it that the representative of FEO will confirm that they will prepare a document for the next session of the executive committee.
Sí, señor presidente. Gracias, señor presidente. Es en efecto para informar a la comisión lo que ya hemos referido al comité ejecutivo la semana anterior, en el sentido de que la FAO ha realizado algunos estudios ya sobre el efecto de las normas privadas en algunos sectores de la cadena de producción, y en conjunto con nuestros colegas de la OMS y ciertamente contando con la colaboración de OMC, estaremos en posibilidad de presentar un documento a su consideración en la próxima reunión de la comisión. Gracias.
Thank you, Representative FEO. We appreciate very much, and we're looking forward to that document and to the discussion in the Executive Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of agenda item 11. Before we move on to agenda item 12, I recall that at the time when Dr. Moshia introduced the reports of the Executive Committee, and particularly the session of last week on the follow-up of the statement made by FEO and WSO at the 60th session of the Executive Committee, when he pointed draw your attention to the recommendation of the Executive Committee regarding the establishment of a duration for the terms for hosting CODIS committees. The discussion is in the report of the last session of the Executive Committee, starting at paragraph 16, up to and including 21. In 21, there's the recommendation. There was a question, and it was agreed to further discuss this or consider it under this agenda item. Maybe, Mr. Secretary, that you can very briefly refresh our memories what the issue in fact is. And in paragraph 21, you will see the recommendation that, as it says, that aiming at making improvements within the current framework, and after the introduction of the CODIS Secretary, I will ask you to reconfirm that we have endorsed this recommendation from the Executive Committee. Mr. Secretary, please.
Mr. Chairman, this was the discussion did take place last week in the Executive Committee as a follow-up to the joint statement made by FAO and WHO at the second last session of the Executive Committee. And there was an issue on the desirability or even feasibility of setting a maximum duration to the terms for hosting a CODIS subsidiary body. Current rule says that host governments to the CODIS subsidiary bodies are designated at each regular session of the Commission and serve until the end of the following session of the Commission. Insofar as the Commission meets annually, one term for hosting a Codex Committee corresponds to 1 year, with the exception of the coordinating committees, for which one term corresponds actually to 2 years. However, we have to approach this matter in the light of the established practice and in that regard, we all know that the expectation of the Codex membership is that at least the majority of host governments are ready to carry on the task and could accept usually to continue to serve as a host government in a continuous manner. And as it happened to the Fats and Oils Committee, or Pesticide Residues Committee, or Sugars Committee, sometimes host governments declare that they are rather reluctant to continue with the role of the host governments and would seek any other volunteering countries to take over their charges. And such takeover did take place in the past few years. Mr. Chairman, as a follow-up to this question that was raised, the Secretariat prepared rather detailed analysis paper for the Executive Committee, which did have the chance to look at the paper, and it was noted that putting a limit to the number of terms for hosting Codex Committee may create more problems than resolving them. In view of this analysis and discussion, Executive Committee last week agreed that basically it would not be appropriate to consider changing the rules, but rather try to find other means to achieve a more equitable share of burdens, of or share of the privilege as well, to host Codex committees and task forces. So this is a brief summary of what has happened so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Yes, hosting meetings is a burden and it is a privilege. So, ladies and gentlemen, with this explanation to refresh our memories, and the matter has been introduced to you earlier this week by Dr. Moshia, I take it that we can endorse this recommendation. And that is the case. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, let us move on quickly to agenda item 12. There are basically two issues on our plate: future work on animal feeding and the use of the lactoperoxidase system. That are the two items under section 1, and the matters for information to the Commission on item 2. The Codex Secretary will introduce the two issues under the first section one by one. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Animal feeding is an area on which the Codex Alimentarius Commission embarked with a view to ensure food safety at the consumer level by following a food chain approach that stretched from the primary production to the final consumption. The Codex Alimentarius Commission successfully completed the work originally assigned to the task force hosted by Denmark and the final output is Codex Code of Practice for on good animal feeding. We have noted that this code has been very much welcome and is being applied by many Codex member countries and is serving as a very important reference document. As a follow-up to this, FAO has also published a supplementary guidance document to help countries to implement this Codex Code of Practice. Mr. Chairman, after the Commission has dissolved the task force upon completion of the work assigned to it, there were some requests to reconvene this animal feeding task force to tackle some other new additional subjects. This is a reason why we have decided a few sessions ago to issue a circular letter to invite countries to comment on and identify any new areas on which the Codex Task Force, if it is going to be established, can start new work on. Mr. Chairman, 2 years ago, this Commission discussed this matter on the opportunity for re-establishing a Codex Task Force. And after a round of discussion, we decided that at this stage, it was too early to evaluate the impact of the implementing the Codex Code of Practice and to have a more holistic view and some objective look on the need for additional work. The Commission decided to postpone the discussion by 2 years and come back this week to this question to address the matter on whether Codex should restart new work in the area of animal feeding. And also we listened to the intervention from the OIE last week that they have also started work on animal feeding, and the OIE was willing to collaborate with Codex in this area if the Codex decides to start new work. Mr. Chairman, this is a brief summary of the history of the matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for introducing the matter to the Commission. Ladies and gentlemen, indeed, we are now before us, we should have before us Ali Norm 08319D, and in the annex, starting at page 5, there you see the comments. There are many comments we have received, and I would like to thank all those members and observers that have provided information. Basically, on information on the implementation of the code or working undertaken at the national level regarding animal feeding stuffs, and also views have been expressed about the necessity to reestablish a ad hoc task force on animal feeding. Originally, let's say a week ago when we had our briefing, we were considering the possibility to have a intersession working group to flesh out the terms of reference of a new task force. However, time is passing by. It has been brought to our attention that the experts have in the meantime left the meeting. So what I am thinking about, and that is in fact what I would propose to you, in order not to postpone the issue until next year's session, but to make headway, that we should make use of the possibility of having a electronic working group established this year, asking them, let's say, to flesh out the terms of reference of a new task force. And we should think about maybe a little bit more in detail, but the idea is to use the time between now and our next session, having an electronic working group to come forward with, let's say, a proposal for the terms of reference. And when this can be done in a timely fashion, the outcome of such a electronic working group even can be circulated through a circular letter to all the members and observers, getting input, and hopefully then at our next year session, we are in a good position to take a decision and move on. As you have seen in the documentation, by and large, the membership is in favor of having a new task force, provided that there is a very clear terms of reference. One member particularly expressing concerns. So, ladies and gentlemen, jumping to conclusions, my proposal to the Commission is not to waste time, to move on and have an electronic working group to flesh out the terms of reference, having a circular letter, and finalize it at our next year's session. And if that is agreeable, then we should find out who is interesting to take the lead and who wishes to participate in this electronic working group. So this is my proposal to move forward, hopefully in a very smoothly manner, with the question on the re-establishment of an ad hoc task force on animal feeding stuffs. Who may I give the floor? Representative of FVO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like to inform the Commission that in October 2007, FAO jointly with WHO and with the participation of OIE convened an expert meeting on animal feed impact on food safety. A comprehensive information about the meeting can be found on the document Alinorm 08/31/9G. The meeting resulted in a series of conclusions and recommendations, some of which could be used, could be considered for the Codex of Future Work on Animal Feeding. And the report of the meeting is available electronically on the FAO website, or printed copy can be obtained by asking FAO and WHO. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you, Representative of FAO. That's very helpful to bring that to our attention. I see in the meantime the flags of the New Zealand, France and USA. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be very brief. You almost read our mind. We are very happy to support your idea and process that you have identified for scoping the proposals for new work and advancing thinking in the Commission in this area. So we are happy to support your course of action on this. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. Delegation France, most likely speaking on behalf of the members of the community.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Vous devez bien vous douter que nous aurions préféré une réinstallation du groupe dès cette session, mais nous comprenons les motifs qui vous conduisent à faire cette proposition de groupe électronique. C'est une manière d'avancer. Donc nous adhérons à votre proposition en... Évidemment, nous engageons à y participer activement et en proposant que le Danemark, qui a eu une expérience déjà sur le domaine et qui avait présidé la prochaine Task Force, soit préside également aux destinées de ce groupe électronique. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Delegation France. USA, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would also like to support the proposition of the chair on the electronic working group, just for further to support what the Secretariat of FAO has indicated. We think that the electronic working group should be taking into account the 13 recommendations that did come out of the report on the expert meeting, FAO, WHO expert meeting on animal feed impact on food safety, which was held in Rome last October. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we would like to nominate Mexico as a co-chair of the electronic working group. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Delegation of the USA. Egypt, please.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais. نحن نوافق تماما على اقتراحكم ومصر ترغب في الانضمام إلى فريق العمل هذا خاصة أنها اشتركت في الأنشطة السابقة والتي تمت في الدنمارك. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you, delegation of Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further flags, then I would thank you. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Estaba Chile primero que Argentina, pero suponemos que es lo mismo. Argentina quiere apoyar la propuesta que usted ha hecho y estamos de acuerdo con la designación del presidente y el copresidente y obviamente nos ofrecemos para participar en el grupo. Gracias.
Thank you, delegation Argentina. Chile, please. Apologies for not seeing your flag.
Gracias, señor presidente. También nos interesa participar del grupo, pero como está establecido en los grupos electrónicos y entendemos con la vicepresidencia de México que hará salvaguardado esto, pero de todas maneras que se considere que el grupo trabaje, además del inglés, por lo menos en español. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chile. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess two things, that there is support for the idea, but I would like to give the floor to the secretary to inform you about the procedures, because also an electronic working group is open to everybody, and maybe you can explain that to the audience, Mr. Secretary, because I see many flags of people who wish certainly to participate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for this opportunity. Actually, there is no rules governing the operation of working group established directly by the Commission, but we do have the guidelines for how to operate working groups established by Codex committees and task forces, and in our view, it is more than judicious to follow the exactly same procedures as set out for the working groups operating under Codex Committee to ensure transparency and inclusiveness. This being said, such an electronic working group could work along the following line. The leading country of this electronic working group, which would be Denmark, and Denmark will be assisted by Mexico as a co-chair, will prepare rather short kick-off message to announce that who in these delegations will act as focal point and request which country wants to participate in the process. And this kick-off message can be distributed, will be distributed through Codex email list, Codex L and Codex Direct L, possibly by the end of this month. So all countries and observers will have the chance to respond affirmatively to this invitation. And then this electronic working group will be formed. We could possibly request this electronic working group to have a rich exchange of ideas and views, proposals, and come up with the draft terms of reference of a new task force on animal feeding by the end of January 2009 at latest. This would allow us to circulate, to issue a official Codex circular letter that incorporates the report of this electronic working group and invite government comments and also comments from observers. And of course, this report of erecting working group will also include the list of participants and the most importantly, the draft terms of reference of a future task force. The comments submitted in response to that circular letter will be presented to the next session of the Executive Committee and the Commission for final decision by the Commission in July or June-July 2009. That would be the suggested timeline to ensure inclusiveness and ample time for the work of the Electronic Working Group, as well as for governments to comment on the final product of the Electronic Working Group. Mr. Chairman, at this point, the Commission has to decide on the use of languages in this Electronic Working Group, because this is part of the guidelines for the establishment working group. I think we have the clear mandate for this electronic working group, that is to draw up draft terms reference for a new task force, and we also have nominations for the leading country and co-chair, but we need to make sure that which languages can be used in the electronic communication. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. There are a few questions left. Let me start, first of all, whether Denmark and Mexico are willing to take on the responsibility to lead and host and co-host this electronic working group. There's also the matter of the language. That is a decision of the Commission. I see. Let me start with the flag of Mexico. Mexico, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. México solo quiere confirmar que acepta la vicepresidencia de este grupo de trabajo electrónico y apoya la propuesta de Chile de que se lleve a cabo en inglés y en español. Gracias.
Thank you, delegation of Mexico. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We had no problems with the general content of the Secretary's proposal on how to advance this work. Our only issue would be with regard to the suggestion that the Electronic Working Group should come up with the terms of reference for a new task force. Our feeling at this stage is for the Electronic Working Group to scope the work and to come up with the terms of reference for how to advance this work, but leave open the option for how we actually, what mechanism we use to undertake any new work in this area. We make this proposal against the background of the Commission's discussions around committee structures and the number of committees we have and general intensity of Codex work. So we would like to see us retain some flexibility in how we might actually consider advancing any new work in this area. So at this stage, our preference is for the working group to look at all of the aspects of work and consider possible terms of reference, but leave the option open for how we actually consider the specific task of undertaking any new work in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. Canada and the USA, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Canada would support the comments made by New Zealand that we retain flexibility in the approach to addressing the issue as the electronic working group considers the mandate in terms of reference. Thank you.
Thank you. Canada, United States, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would also support the comments of New Zealand. One other point, though. Rather than establishing a lead and co-lead or co-host, Mr. Chairman, We think that both countries should have equal standing, that they both be considered co-hosts rather than a lead country and a co-host. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, delegation to the USA. When the Secretary spelled out the way how best to move on with this issue, then he gave the impression that Denmark had the lead and Mexico should then be co-host. So I asked him why that could be, let's say, at an equal footing. And I guess that, strictly speaking, according to the rules, that it should be a host country and a co-host. In practice, they will work on equal footing, is the understanding of what the Secretary told me. So Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The guidelines on electric working groups say that under the section management, the host is responsible for the management of the electric working group for which it has been appointed. And it is true. Also, the guidelines carry on to say that the host is responsible for providing the secretariat of the electric working group with all services needed for its functioning, including suitable information technology equipment, and should meet all the requirements agreed upon by the committee, which we can read the commission. So, Mr. Chairman, the question is rather on the basis of logistic arrangements and for the Codex Secretariat, which needs to work closely with the host. Sometimes we have problems when more than one country is identified as equal hosts. Therefore, if the Commission so agrees, the Commission can identify one country as the lead country and the other or other countries as co-chair or vice chair, so that it is left to the Bureau of the Electric Working Group to agree on the division of burden or responsibilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I have the following flags on my list: Denmark, Mali, Iran, Australia, Brazil. Denmark, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to confirm that Denmark is certainly ready to take on board the proposal of hosting an electronic working group, and we would certainly look forward to working in close cooperation with Mexico, trying to fulfill what has just been described as the purpose of establishing such a working group. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Denmark. Iran, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Usually you go to see straight, not the left side and hand on the right side. My flag was raised so many times ago. So, I wanted only to say that the Iranian government and my delegation would like to wish that to welcome very, very good initiatives have been already proposed by the Secretariat regarding the new task force for the animal feeding electronic working groups. Mr. Chairman, according and due to we had very good experience regarding the issue, we have already started the electronic working group in all my country, particularly in the Iranian Trade Promotion Organization. We fully support this issue initiative and we're ready to complete and to work fully collaborating with this issue. And also we are very important for us working for the animal feeding in my country. So again, we welcome this issue and ready to work fully with this group, whatever will be happen and whatever we're going to this work. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, delegation for Iran. Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je me permets également de féliciter la Commission de prendre l'initiative de reprendre cette activité qui permettra à certains pays avoir un développement comme le Mali, qui n'avait pas eu l'occasion de participer aux activités précédentes, mais qui ont un intérêt important pour l'élevage, de pouvoir participer à ce groupe de travail. Et je souhaiterais vraiment que le français soit retenu comme langue de travail pour permettre à nos pays, je suis de l'Afrique de l'Ouest et de l'Union de l'UMOA, où l'ensemble de nos pays parlent français, et c'est une grande zone d'élevage au niveau sahélien. Et serait dommage si le français n'est pas retenu, nous ne pourrons pas participer convenablement à cette activité. Merci.
Thank you, Mali. Australia, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Australia would certainly support the comments made by the New Zealand delegate. I think it is important for us not to preempt the structure or the form for taking such work forward, and that should certainly be part of the discussion through the electronic working group. Thank you.
Thank you, Australia. Brazil, please.
Gracias, presidente. Muy brevemente, para apoyar las propuestas del colega de Nueva Zelanda. Gracias.
Thank you, delegate of Brazil. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Simplemente para apoyar lo señalado por el delegado de Nueva Zelanda, queremos discutir esta cuestión, pero tener la posibilidad de discutir dentro del grupo de trabajo electrónico cuáles son los mejores caminos o a través de qué vías el Codex puede seguir avanzando en el establecimiento de estándares relativos a la buena alimentación animal. Gracias.
Thank you, delegation of Argentina. France, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Effectivement, la Nouvelle-Zélande a souligné ce besoin encore de flexibilité pour le traitement des questions qui vont être dégagées de ce groupe électronique. Je crois que c'est une bonne approche. Et nous soutenons évidemment, comme je vous l'ai dit, le fait que le Danemark pilote ce groupe en raison de son expérience dans la dernière task force et, comme il l'a dit, il s'est engagé à travailler étroitement avec le Mexique. Donc je pense que le groupe fonctionnera bien. Et si vous le permettez, Monsieur le Président, maintenant je vais m'exprimer au nom de la France seulement pour avoir le français dans ce groupe de travail. Merci.
Thank you, Delegate of France. And in that regard, would you are willing to act as the second co-host, providing for the French translation? Noblesse oblige.
Merci, Monsieur le Président, de votre proposition, mais non, on en restera au Danemark et au Mexique, et nous essaierons d'apporter toute notre aide au Danemark et au Mexique. Merci.
Thank you, Delegate of France. The last speaker is the Delegate of Cameroon, China.
Monsieur le Président, merci. La dernière question que vous avez posée à la France m'a fait sourire un peu parce qu'on a l'impression que les langues sont choisies a priori. Si vous demandez déjà que la France soit traductrice, ça veut dire qu'il y a déjà une langue qui est choisie a priori, sans qu'on se soit prononcé dessus. Mais comme la France offre, je ne voudrais pas me substituer à la place de la France, mais moi j'ai un embarras en tant que Camerounais parce que dans notre constitution nous avons deux langues. Et nous souhaitons certainement travailler dans les deux langues, le français et l'anglais. Ceci dit, Monsieur le Président, j'ai une interrogation particulière. Qu'est-ce qui sera soumis en 2009 à la Commission pour décision? Est-ce que c'est les thèmes de référence ou bien c'est le rapport du groupe de la task force? Parce que c'est sur cette base que nous saurons si jusqu'à quel niveau on peut engager les discussions à l'intérieur du groupe de travail électronique. Voilà un peu la principale question que je souhaiterais poser, parce que la proposition de la Nouvelle-Zélande semble passer très facilement, mais il faut qu'on sache ce qu'on va discuter l'année prochaine à la commission exactement. Je vous remercie.